Douglas Crook, Wednesday, May 16th, 2012.
We're ready this evening to consider Proverbs 21 and verse 20, which falls under the heading in the little booklet that some of you are using, under conservation, or probably a more common word would be saving, storing up. So we'll begin there this evening as we continue our study in the book of Proverbs, as we look at the wisdom that God has revealed to us in His Word, as we have found many of these principles and truths that we are considering in the book of Proverbs are echoed throughout the Word of God, including the New Testament, including Paul's gospel, which is the revelation for church doctrine. What a privilege it is for us as the children of God, first of all, to be led into the wisdom and the counsel of God, to understand not only His eternal purposes and the things that He's prepared for us in eternity, but to know the things that will cause us to enjoy the fullness of life right now, and the relationships and every situation and circumstance in which we find ourselves in this life. We find that there's wisdom that will lead us to God's best in this life, to truly understand what joy unspeakable and full of glory is. From time to time, I've mentioned to you how I like to watch biographies or listen to biographies from time to time about famous people that in the eyes of the world have success and power and money and all of those things. And almost without exception, all through the story of their life, you see tragedy after tragedy in their personal life, in their marriages. They have everything the world says you should have, and yet they are void and empty of any real life. We have the privilege as the children of God to understand what life is all about and to enjoy it to its fullest as we understand we are preparing for something that is eternal and that goes beyond this life. And so may we never take these little gems, these little nuggets of wisdom, may we never take them for granted, but to understand not only do we have the privilege to know them as we study the Word of God, but we are the only people on earth that have the ability to actually live wisely, because we have the very life of Christ within us. And so we don't look at these, hopefully, I know many do, but these aren't just rules and regulations and codes and things to strap us in life, but this is the wisdom that leads to the abundance of life as we surrender our life to the will of God as revealed in His Word. Proverbs 21 and verse 20 says, "There is desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man squanders it." Those that are truly wise will anticipate the future and its needs, and they'll store it up. Now, as we have been applying these things both to natural endeavors as well as spiritual endeavors, once again, we find this applies to both areas. There's a scriptural balance here. Let's go to Philippians 4 to understand that we are not to be anxious about tomorrow. But the warning here is against the foolishness of living for today and today only. It's the mentality that the Apostle Paul wrote about when he said, "Let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die." In other words, we just live for today. This proverb is warning against that mentality, both in natural things as well as spiritual things. Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7, "While we are storing up for the future, it is to be done without anxiety." In other words, there are those that save for tomorrow because they're afraid that they'll not have anything. And their security, their joy, their contentment comes from looking at their bank account or looking at their properties or their possessions and saying, "Oh, because I have this, I'm good." Well, the Bible warns against that false security. But the balance of that is, yes, anticipate that there are going to be needs for tomorrow, and be wise about that. "Be anxious for nothing," Philippians 4, 6 says, "but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In Matthew 6 and verses 19 to 21, Jesus warns us not to store up earthly treasure, which seems to be a contradiction to our proverb. But let's read it and see if we can't find the biblical balance here. Matthew 6 and verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And that, of course, is the secret to the balance. What Jesus taught there in Matthew is not a prohibition against saving for retirement. But it's that warning not to be preoccupied with material wealth, especially at the expense of your spiritual life. To be anxious for nothing. To understand that God is going to take care of your needs. We know how unstable our economy is and how unstable it's always been. Yes, it goes through times of strength, and then how quickly it is able to fall apart. And so if your confidence and your security are found in the economy, then, you know, your contentment, your peace, your joy is going to be up and down with the stock market. But I'm glad that the promise is, my God shall supply how many of my needs? All my needs according to the Dow Jones? No, according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. That economy doesn't fluctuate. It's eternal. And so it's wise, the balance here, yes, it's wise for us to save for the future concerning material things and retirement. But we are to do that with calling upon the Lord for wisdom and direction, thanking him for what we do have. And even when it looks like our portfolio falls short of what everybody says we have to have, we still thank God. And we say, Lord, I know you will take care of me. Give me wisdom to make the decisions I need to make today. Cause me to be able to be wise and prudent with what you've given me. But when it's all said and done, my life is in your hands. My health is in your hands. My family is in your hands. And that's the kind of faith that will lead to wise use of the material wealth that God does put in your hands. This truth, of course, is even more important when you look at spiritual things. Too many people, including Christians, live their life for today with no anticipation of the eternal future. And saints, one thing that is impressed upon me over and over again as I look at the experiences and the lives of God's people, when I look at the world, this life is but a vapor. And it doesn't matter how long you live. We've got a couple of 90-year-old folks here. And they would be the first to tell you, where has the time gone? It's a vapor. It's here today and gone tomorrow. But how we live our life today matters. And it has future implications for eternity. And so with that in mind, we live our life in anticipation of the future. Not with fear and anxiety, but God, I want to store up the things on the other side because that's what's going to last forever. And if God's people could learn that lesson, it would change drastically how people think, how they occupy their time, their priorities in life, to understand there's something that is eternal that I need to be preparing for. So the wisdom of this proverb holds true, both in natural and spiritual endeavors. Now the next subject of the next list of proverbs is under the heading of surety for another. It has to do with securing loans. The proverbs under this heading warn against the dangers of co-signing for the debt of others or making an unsecured loan. It covers both areas, both sides of the coin. We've had some proverbs already along this line, but these we're going to read all of these in the list together and then comment on them. But I've always found this to be a good rule of thumb, and I believe one that reflects the wisdom of these Proverbs, that you should never co-sign on a loan for a friend or family or anyone else if you yourself cannot afford to either make the payments or pay the loan in full yourself. If you can't afford to do that, you don't co-sign. It really is that simple. And never loan money to anyone if you cannot afford to never see that money again. Because I have seen more friendships and families destroyed because of loans that did not heed these practical instructions of the Word of God. And because of that, relationships were destroyed. So let's read all of the Proverbs under this heading together and understand that God cares about these things. He cares about your day-to-day businesses and transactions and relationships. And it's because he cares, he gives us these Proverbs. He who is surety for a stranger will suffer, but one who hates being surety is secure. Proverbs 17 and verse 18, a man devoid of understanding shakes hands in a pledge and becomes surety for his friend. Proverbs 20 verse 16, take the garment of one who is surety for a stranger and hold it as a pledge when it is for a seductress. Proverbs 22 and verses 26 and 27, do not be one of those who shakes hands in a pledge, one of those who is surety for debts. If you have nothing with which to pay, why should he take away your bed from under you? These words are inspired by the Holy Spirit, and so we need to take them seriously. But again, too many of God's people have ignored this wisdom, and they've suffered the consequences. So in all of these things, in these transactions, one thing that we should learn from this is call upon the Lord for direction in all of your decisions. Don't just assume you know what's best. Don't act before you call out to the Lord, because there are things that are not necessarily wrong or sinful, but for you, God has something different. And if you don't take time to listen and recognize the voice and the leading of the Holy Spirit, you're going to make decisions that are not in your best interest and will not bring God the highest glory. So we need to make it our business, first and foremost, to seek the will of God in all of these matters. And it'll save us from a lot of trouble. Let's go on to the next heading, persons and attributes, subheading of parents and children. We've touched on some of this last week in the Mother's Day message, but we'll review some of these things that are clearly stated for us in Scripture. Proverbs 10 and verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Now this proverb isn't saying that only the father is glad when a child is successful, and that only a mother is sad when the child fails. This is a typical Hebrew poetic form that was used simply to demonstrate that both parents are affected by the decisions of their children. They both care. They're both interested. And this, of course, is assuming that the parents are parents that fear the Lord. This short proverb reveals several important things. First of all, we see the wisdom of the fear of the Lord is to be handed down from parents to the children. So the fact that the son is warned not to bring sorrow to the mother, and that it's good to bring them happiness and joy by their decisions, this indicates that the parents have taught the child, that there are parents that have handed down the revelation of the will of God to their children. It's their responsibility. In our society, too many children, including Christians, too many children are raising themselves, because society tells us that, you know, we need to let them kind of branch out and discover who they are. And, well, our children need to discover some things, but They don't need to discover who they are, because who they are in Adam, you don't want to discover that. But it'll come to light, won't it? What they need is to teach them the fear of the Lord, that we are accountable to our Creator, and that we have all miserably failed and will miserably fail. But there is a remedy to our failures, and that is the grace of God and faith in His faithfulness that will produce in us a faithfulness as well. But children have to be taught that. They will not pick it up from the world. Parents have the responsibility to teach their children to be wise, both in natural things as well as spiritual things. And so we're not just talking about teaching them the Bible, but it is the applications, kind of what we're doing here tonight. To know what the Bible says and then how to apply it in your everyday choices, your everyday relationships, your friendships at school, at home, all of those things. These are the truths of God. This is how it affects your life. That's the parent's responsibility. However, this proverb also makes it clear that as children grow up, they become accountable and responsible to make their own choices. And it's possible for a child that was raised in the fear of God to make the wrong choices. And many have, and many do. And they bring sadness to their godly parents. Those parents, and the reason they bring sadness, and this is something that parents have to examine, it's not because a godly parent who sees a child, an adult child, make foolish, carnal choices, it brings sadness not because simply because how it reflects on the parents. And parents, we have to be honest with ourselves. It does. I know we wrestle with it, don't we? But when it comes down to it, the reason it brings sadness to godly parents when adult children make foolish, carnal choices is because they know that that child has put themselves in a vulnerable position and that they cannot know the fullness of the blessing of God in those choices that contradict the will of God. And that saddens the heart of a godly parent. The opposite, of course, is true, that when adult children make wise decisions and choose to fear the Lord with their life, it thrills the heart of godly parents. Why? Because it honors the Lord that you love. Because it brings glory to God, and because you know it's in the best interest of your children and their family. And so this proverb, it gives a warning to adult children of godly parents. And again, that's always the context. It's not just any parents who didn't raise their children in the fear of the Lord. But it's those that truly honor the Lord. Don't bring them sadness, because their sadness is going to result in you not enjoying the fullness of God because you're walking outside the will of God. Proverbs 11 and verse 29. He who troubles his own house will inherit the wind, and the fool will be the servant to the wise of heart. The prodigal son in the New Testament is a good illustration of the truth of this proverb. The prodigal son troubled his father by insisting on his inheritance, only to squander it in his riotous living. And this boy, who was clearly from a well-to-do family, whose father had an inheritance to give, this well-to-do young man ended up being the servant of a pig farmer, which in Jewish society was probably about as low as you could possibly get. But he became the servant of the pig farmer. And this is what sin will do for you. There's a song, Brother Larry, it's one of his favorites, that says, sin will take you further than you want to go. And it will. It'll take you to places you think that we think, our nature, is to think that satisfying our own selfish desires will bring us everything we want, when the opposite is true. It'll cause you to be a slave and a servant of sin. Romans 6 and verse 16. It is possible for a child of God to be the slave of sin. And it's when we trouble our Father, our Heavenly Father. And if we have a godly Father, we also trouble Him. But all of us have the same Heavenly Father. And when we trouble Him with a life of carnality, it leads to slavery instead of the liberty, enjoying the fullness of the liberty of Christ. Romans 6:16, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? Jump over to 1 Corinthians 3. Many of God's people are squandering the fullness of their inheritance of their Father by living a life of sin, by troubling Him, bringing Him sorrow, by grieving the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3, turn to 10 to 15. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. If God's people truly understood that and believed it, once again, it changes how you conduct your life. It changes what you do, what you say. There are those that are troubling their Heavenly Father, and they will suffer the consequences in this life. They become the slaves of sin. In eternity, they lose the opportunity for the fullness of reward. I want to bring honor to my Father because I understand He loved me so much. He gave me His only Son. I love my Father, and therefore I want to bring Him honor. May the Lord help us to understand how important this is. Proverbs 15 and verse 20. Very similar to the first proverb in this section. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. Though this is similar, the emphasis in this proverb emphasizes not just how the actions of adult children affect their parents, but here the emphasis is on the attitude itself toward the foolish child toward his parents, despises his mother. A wise son or daughter will learn to esteem and value the loving, wise discipline and correction of their parents. A foolish one will despise it and rebel against it. There, I could ask a number of you, and I won't put some of you on a spot, but some of you received a lot of correction as children, didn't you? And you probably weren't thrilled about it when you got it. But those that have grown up and now understand the importance of walking in the fear of the Lord, you can actually thank God for parents who disciplined you. I know that's the case. I had some very strict parents. I was a very strict parent. And it's not fun at the time. But I thank God for that strictness. My wife likes to joke that I never left the sidewalk of my house until I got married. that I had a pretty close circle where my parents kept me. And you know, I'm glad I did. I'm glad they did. Because I was able to learn what was important in life and to understand that the discipline that is found in surrendering my will to the will of God, I find safety, I find liberty, I find joy, I find everything that the world is looking for and promising, but I found it in the will of God, and I rejoice in that. So a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. Once again, the context is of godly parents that have taught them the fear of the Lord. Many children grow up to despise. I don't know how many times I've heard adults tell me, well, I don't like to go to church anymore because my parents made me. Well, and what I usually ask him is, did they also make you take a bath? You still take a bath? Oh, okay. Yeah, there's a lot of things they make us do. Do you despise what was done in your best interest in the light of the wisdom of Scripture? May the Lord help us. And I've known a lot of parents raising their children who buy into that. Well, I'm not going to make my children go to church, or I'm not going to make them do this because my parents made me. Well, saints, may we understand the wisdom of following the Word of God. You'll never regret it. But I'll guarantee you, you will regret despising the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 17, verse 2. A wise servant will rule over a son who causes shame and will share an inheritance among the brothers. Wise living and conduct often results in elevating your position greater than your beginnings. Again, in natural things and certainly in spiritual things. Now, in contrast to that, foolish living, ignoring the wise instruction of the Word of God, often results in the loss of position and privilege. Again, you can apply that to the work scene and work ethic, but how much more true is it of spiritual things? We were the enemies of God, but by the grace of God, and when we accept the grace of God, we're immediately elevated from the pit of sin to being a child of God. And then as we continue to walk in the will of God, we go from a born one of God into a mature son of God to one that is invited to sit on the throne with Jesus Christ. Do you see how wise living elevates you from your humble beginnings? This is what the grace of God will do for you if we will live wisely. Proverbs 17, verse 6. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children is their father. Grandchildren. You know, I used to fall in behind someone in traffic, and they were traveling slow, or their blinker was on for 2 miles. I used to say, well, there's somebody's grandpa. And now I realize I'm somebody's grandpa. So now it's somebody's great-grandpa driving that does that kind of stuff. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children is their father. This, once again, is in the context of when the plan, God's plan for the family is being followed. In other words, there are godly parents, and then there are children that grow up as well to follow in the fear of the Lord. Grandchildren that fear the Lord give their godly parents reason to rejoice. There's a sense of accomplishment and great satisfaction when grandchildren, a heritage, goes on to honor the Lord and to reveal Christ to their generation. There's a joy in that because it's the will of God, because that's what God has called you to. And then adult children that have older godly parents to look to as examples and counselors and helpers in raising their families, they consider it to be a priceless treasure, and they should. And this, again, is the balance. There are those, as I grew up in church, and I grew up in a family of preachers, and my pastor was my uncle, and the pastor before him was my great-grandfather. I've got a lot of heritage in church. And the balance to that, I've heard all of my life, people gripe about families in churches. And I never did quite understand it. I mean, I do understand it because the two extremes are this. People in churches are given position because they're family. Well, not only is that wrong, it's sin. Okay, that's a serious thing. When people are given positions and recognition in spiritual settings because they're family. That's just wrong. It doesn't honor God, and it brings destruction to the family of God and to the congregation. But then on the other hand, I thank God for the few of my family that do honor the Lord. And I honor them not because they're family, but because they honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's not a bad thing. That's a precious treasure when you have that to hand down as a heritage to your children. And there are many that haven't had that privilege. But one thing I always encourage, if you're the first one, and some of you are the first generation, you have the privilege now to start a whole new heritage for your descendants. And what a privilege and what a treasure it is for them. And so, again, always the balance. We so easily get off unbalanced in one area or the other. But if we'll keep our eyes on Jesus Christ and want to desire to honor him in all things, then he'll keep us where we need to be. Well, I think we'll stop there. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed.